greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm so pleased that you're making Bible Strong a part of your day. I'm going to start us off today with a gold nugget. I found it in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. It reads like this: Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Did you hear that? Jesus spoke a parable to the intent and to the end that men ought always to pray. That sounds a little fanatical. That sounds a little over the top. Always pray? My, my, how can I do that? Well, if I am asked to pray, I will pray. And if I may have whatsoever I ask of God in the name of Jesus, I will ask. If I am instructed to knock, I will knock. If I am instructed to seek, I will seek. He said, if I knock, the door would be open. If I seek, I shall find. As a church, we have prospered by prayer, by the preaching of the word, and the prayers of the saints. Our congregations have flourished. This has been the secret of our strength. Therefore, let us still believe in the power of prayer. God does listen to the voice of his children. He does regard the cry of the humble. He is moved by the desires of his own people. Let us then, during this year, be more in prayer than ever. Let us pray in faith, leaning on the promises of the everlasting Father. Let us hear him say, ask of me of things concerning my works. Command you me. It's lesson time now. Scoot up your chair. My scripture reading for today comes from the book of Job, chapter 32. Before I read those verses in chapter 32, I want to refer you back to chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. This will set the stage for the lesson today. The Bible says that when Job's three friends heard of this evil that had come upon him, they came every one from his own place, for they had made an appointment to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Can I pause here for just a moment and say that the best comfort that these three friends gave to Job was the 7 days and nights of silence? Friend, there is a time when only your presence is all that is needed to give comfort. There are troubles that are too hard to explain, too difficult to find a reason for. There are some things that come upon us that only God can explain. But don't we all want to explain the problems that come to other people? Don't we put on our theologian's hat and try to find some reasonable reason that they are going through a particular trial? Well, this is what these three friends did after 7 days and nights of silence. For 7 days and nights they sat there, didn't say a word, but oh, they were thinking. They were trying to get their words in order so that when they did begin to speak, they would speak rightly. From chapter 4 down through the end of chapter 31, it was Job and his three friends talking amongst themselves. One of the friends would hurl an accusation at Job. Job would answer with a denial. Another friend would do the same thing. And then the third friend. All of them hurled accusations at Job that was not correct. They were giving their opinion. Job denied all of these accusations of sin. Job knew that he had served God with an upright heart. He wasn't going to let these friends condemn him. He said, "My judge is God. He will judge me rightly." So after several chapters of bantering back and forth, we find the fourth man, the fourth friend. In the discussion between Job and his three friends, Elihu was also present. We don't read about him in the book of Job until the 32nd chapter. Elihu was by far the wisest man among them. He remained quiet. Sometimes silence proves a wise head. In our text, he gives a reason for remaining silent. In chapter 32, here's what he said. "So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. And then was kindled the wrath of Elihu against Job because he justified himself rather than God. And against his three friends was his wrath kindled because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job." Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were older than he. And when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, he answered and said, "I was young and you are very old. Therefore, I was afraid to speak my opinion. I said to myself, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding." And then listen to what Elihu says. "Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment." Elihu felt inclined to deliver his mind. Him being the younger man, he modestly said, "These gray-headed men ought to know better and more than I. Perhaps if I speak, I will display my ignorance, and they will say, 'Be silent, boy, and let your fathers teach you.'" Therefore he said to himself, "Days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom." Elihu had, however, been disappointed. His words plainly say that he had heard but little wisdom from these three old men. And he added, "Great men are not always wise, neither do the old understand judgment." He was not the only man who has been disappointed when looking to the elder for wisdom. It is a sorrowful truth that the extension of years will not make us wiser apart from the grace of God. But yet, with the teaching of the Holy Spirit, every year's experience will make the Christian riper. Yet without that teaching, it is possible that each year will make a man more unripe, not more ripe, but more rotten. Among all the sinners, the worst of those who have been sinning the longest. Among the saints, it is not always the best who have lived long enough to grow cold. You cannot measure a man's wisdom by the baldness of his head or the grayness of his hair. And yet, if the Spirit of God were with us to sanctify each day's experience, it ought to be so. days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. The writer of Hebrews says in 5:12, "For when the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk." Some people have 1,000 experiences in their lifetime, while others have one experience 1,000 times. I'm going to end this lesson right here, but I'll be back tomorrow speaking on the same subject, the voices of our days. Elihu said that the days should speak. I believe our days has something to say to us if we're listening.